Hurry into Menards right now and save big money. Miracle-Gro raised bed soil helps you grow bigger, more bountiful plants. It provides the right foundation your plants need to thrive with a 100% organic formula that requires no mixing. Add Miracle-Gro raised bed soil to help your plants grow with organic nutrients you can count on. Visit our garden center or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
10:02 here on The Bench. It's Lance and Dell. We're going to be doing this for the next 2 days. Richard Justice is going to come co-host on Friday. Tomorrow, Dane Brugler from The Athletic will join us, and we're going to talk very specifically some draft stuff with Dane, since apparently the Texans may be getting a bunch of first-round picks from the Dolphins and some good players.
This dude.
We were negotiating, and Dell's not going to get him, but I'll stand tough just like Rafael Stone did when the Nets didn't want to give him what he wanted, and then eventually they did.
Yeah, they wanted KD or Kyrie and got neither one.
They didn't want KD or Kyrie.
Yes, they did.
No, you don't.
The Rockets initially were talking about getting two young.
The Rockets got exactly what they wanted.
No, that's not true. They initially, I don't care who you might have talked to about that. That's not true. They wanted.
And they saved someone's life.
With Caris LeVert, they might have done that. They wanted two young players with all-star potential plus picks. They got a free agent who's made the All-Star game once who probably won't be here, plus draft picks. That's who they got. They didn't get what they initially wanted.
I think Oladipo will be here.
Why?
If they want him, I think they'll re-sign him.
No, but if maybe he doesn't want to be here.
He does. He'll want to.
Based on what? His initial
food
comments?
Around here.
Okay.
It's easy to get around. You have...
Is it?
Yeah. Easy. Yeah, because whenever it's COVID, it's easier to drive around.
So COVID,
although I have noticed the highways have gotten
a little less COVID-y. They're picking up.
Yeah, they're definitely picking up. Any difference in how long it takes you to get to work?
No, because it's so early in the day. But traffic is picking up a little bit.
Oh, yeah. It's a little busier. There's all kinds of great stuff in Houston. You got that park. You got Memorial.
Uh-huh.
They got a new arboretum there for
Oladipo.
You're still talking about things to keep Oladipo.
Yeah. For people who wanted Lance to be the James Harden's new restaurant.
Like two different cupcake places.
For people who wanted Lance to be the GM of their team, well, let's make Lance the GM of the Texans.
Yeah.
No trades would ever get done. Because
I'm not selling you out, Houston, like Del O'Brien would.
I'm not
yeah,
the GM.
You're Chris Greer. I'm not your bitch. I'm not Bill O'Brien. I'm not your little bitch.
I don't know, trades. I don't know if you've heard, but the Texas GM is a Dolphins bitch. So let's continue.
but I'm not. I'm standing up for this city.
This guy is.
Here's what I'm trying to get y'all guys: a Pro Bowl cornerback.
He wants
a solid defensive lineman, and we're also going to get a tight end who makes plays in Gesicki. And I guess we'll take Tua off your hands.
He wants three young veterans, not even veterans, three young guys on rookie deals.
Yeah,
and then he wants how many draft picks?
Only two firsts.
Okay, and then you want Byron Jones, who's not a young guy, is on a big deal.
We'll take that big contract off.
And to sweeten the deal, out of here. Just send Whitney to the Dolphins.
Yeah. I don't want Whitney. No one does.
There's a rusher for you.
I offered him a guy who had I offered him a guy who had more sacks than anyone on the Texans team.
A 220-pound linebacker.
He had seven
just
sacks.
Just what they need.
Who had
This is how he tackles. Whee! As he's hanging on. And Derrick Henry's pulling him 17 yards down the field.
So let me ask you something. When he was
I take care of my city,
when
Dell.
When he was rushing a passer for seven sacks, was he weeing on everybody?
Let's pull up something called the sacks of Whitney Mercilus. And let's check out his numbers from last year.
2020?
Would you like to see his numbers?
Pull them up.
From last year.
Pull them up, please.
Okay. No, when I say last year, I mean 2019.
But how many sacks did he have then?
Whitney Mercilus had 7.5 sacks.
Congratulations.
Whoopty freaking dude, Jerome Baker. Why are you trying to move him on me?
How many did he have in 2020, his most recent year?
Still had 4. Even when he doesn't even try, he gets 4.
And I'm offering you guys
lots
of 7.
And you know what? We're taking one of your high character guys, Wilkins.
You're not
and we're going to give you a high character guy in Whitney Mercilus.
No one wants Whitney Mercilus.
You don't get
Mercilus.
Something for nothing, Dell.
You're not getting something for nothing. You're getting picks and a young quarterback. And I'm offering Byron Jones. You're not taking Christian Wilkins.
I'm not taking just Byron Jones. You see, You see, ladies and gentlemen, this is how the – it shouldn't have gone like this. Okay. Like Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby just said, what else? What else? You don't do that. If you have something of value, you fight for it. You make them try to give you something worse. And then eventually, I would trick Dell by moving off of one of
you would
of,
trick
of Xavier Howard, and I would get us Wilkins, Jones, and Gesicki.
You wouldn't trick me.
And Tua, and I would get us a first and second.
You wouldn't trick me.
Yeah, it'd be a total trick.
Why would you trick me?
Because I'd beat you down with all this.
No, I would.
And then I'd come back and give you something. You go, I guess that's a good deal.
Actually, I would just hit you with, your quarterback can't keep our name out of his mouth. We're not even talking about him.
Well, I don't care. I'm not giving in like Bill O'Brien did.
That's fine.
How much for steals? Second. Okay.
Wait, is he?
Never would that happen
wait,
with
Bill
me.
Is Bill O'Brien just angry and loud, or is he developmentally challenged? What are you doing over there?
He's angry and loud. I probably.
Which one are you doing over there?
Yeah, you're right. I should have just done the angry.
Okay. Okay.
What is okay? What is that? Now when you hear it, when I say it, it sounds bad, doesn't it? It sounds bad. Don't do that.
That was somebody approving the trade.
Okay. Don't do that.
But that's how it should go. You should be fighting for your team, not giving in. I'm fighting for a good deal for the Texans. If the Texans trade, listen, I'm actually at ease. If the Texans move to Sean Watson, that's fine. Y'all are
that's
you're not
fine?
Gonna win anything. Yeah, I'm to the point where I'm drinking my coffee and the house full on fire. But I've already figured out, if Deshaun doesn't want to be here and he's serious about it, all right, it makes it easier. Just rebuild, get a bunch of picks, get Christian Wilkins and Xavier Howard and guys like that. Then get some picks.
You're not getting
and then move
guys.
On. Nick Caserio's not going to get punked. So
there's a longstanding tradition of the Dolphins GM pantsing the Texans GM. I don't know why that should stop.
It's not happening anymore.
Okay.
So what I'm saying
is... And Caserio likes Tua, by the way.
I would... Yeah, he does. That's fine. I don't think Tua... Jets fans were trying to tell me Tua's dead. Tua's officially dead in the water. Tua is a rookie. A rookie has to... You have to give the guy a chance to get better. Here's my question. Does Eric Bieniemy want this job if Deshaun Watson's not going to be here?
Why would he? Other than it's 1-32 and he's having trouble
because
getting
you're going to get
job.
A lot of draft picks.
Yeah, that's true. But the question, I think he would take it because look how difficult it's been for him to get a job.
Yeah.
Now it's coming under weird circumstances. This job, particularly if it seems to be done to placate the quarterback who's no longer there, but he takes it and he hopes to be able to build from the ground up. If he comes here with no Deshaun, there are no expectations. It's all about building with the draft, and he'll get time.
Yeah.
The Texans couldn't just jettison him after a year.
Anybody
or
should
two.
Get time. With what the Texans are facing right now, anybody should get time. Rafael Stone should get lots of time with the Rockets because he's facing a tough rebuild. Nick Caserio is facing a tough rebuild. James Click is not. James Click, the Astros GM, is not facing a tough rebuild. He's just facing the realities of having a really good team. That's what he's facing. He's got a really good team, and now he's got to figure out how he loses parts of that really good team. How does he now replace them with what will appear to be a lesser team? And then, you know, the building process, what's that going to look like? But of the hardest jobs, I mean, Casero's got the hardest, right? I don't know. Maybe I'm really short-selling how hard the Rocket job is going to be.
Well, his job, Casero's job gets easier, oddly enough, if he trades Deshaun.
He really does.
There are no expectations.
You keep Deshaun Watson, it's actually harder.
Your clock gets sped up because you have an elite quarterback getting paid a lot of money next year. Not this coming year, the year after, right? Or does it start this year?
Deshaun Watson, it starts after this year. This is year 5. 17, 18, 19, 20,
yeah.
21.
So your clock gets sped up where you have to make moves to strengthen his roster before his deal kicks in. Or you trade him and you cut JJ, you do whatever you need to do, and you got picks and space. His job is easier.
Would you trade a serious question? Would you trade Watson for Wilkins straight up? You would.
What?
No. Would you trade for JJ Watt?
Oh, you mean Watt?
Not Watson. I'm sorry. Would you trade JJ Watt for Christian Wilkins?
No.
Why?
I don't need.
Do you think he could help?
Broken down, 30 something year old.
He's not broken down.
I'll keep the young guy who I don't have to pay.
He's
very
not
much.
As good as JJ.
I understand. I'll keep the young guy I don't have to pay very much.
Aren't y'all trying to win?
Yeah, but I don't need JJ. What has JJ won? JJ doesn't contribute to winning anymore.
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't.
Then Deshaun doesn't.
Okay, fine. Even that means his value goes down even less.
No, I was kidding.
No, you
Deshaun's
said
Deshaun's valuable.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, so earlier in the show, we had Bucky Brooks on. Bucky played in the league, was an NFL scout. And he's an NFL host and he's a host of the podcast Move the Sticks along with Daniel Jeremiah. And he does a lot of NFL work as an analyst for NFL.com, NFL Network, and as well as the Jacksonville Jaguars. He does stuff for them. So we had a chance to sit down with Bucky Brooks and virtually and talk here on the show a lot about the Houston Texans, their situation, and much, much more. Check it out. I think you'll enjoy it. Bucky, people probably don't even realize you got so much going on right now. You also run a football team. You run a high school football team as well.
We got a lot on the plate right now, but it's all good, Lance. As you know, this is the best time of the year, man. Like, we got playoff football, we got the draft coming up. Like, everything is popping. That's the best way to say it.
So I want to get into this first, because this is something you and I would be talking about even if we were at the Senior Bowl, for example. James Harden and Watson, and this is why I bring this up, because you're a basketball fan too, and the more I keep thinking about the Harden situation, which I don't even have to ask. I already know you've kept up with that whole thing, what went down with the Rockets. Do you see any kind of, other than James maybe wearing a fat suit to try to trick his way out of Houston, I haven't seen Deshaun do that, but do you feel like there's some similarity? Like, do you see that as a similar situation, the Watson saga and what James Harden, and then the decision that both the Rockets had to make and the Texans may have to make?
I mean, look, I think on the surface there's some of that, right? So people are trying to kind of paint the narrative that this is a player empowerment movement and that Deshaun Watson has leverage to kind of force his way out. And on the surface, maybe it appears to be that he has some of that, because he has been, I mean, not him, but people around him have been very, very vocal about his displeasure with some of the things that are taking place in Houston. But the reality of the situation is, the new CBA makes it real prohibitive for a player to withhold his services. And so it just makes it very, very challenging for him. He signed the extension in September, 4 year, $158 million. He's going to make $39 million annually when that kicks in. He got a $27 million signing bonus. So he has already gotten paid. And, you know, in terms of forcing their hand to make them trade him, I think if I'm the Houston Texans, I just kind of sit tight. Like, he can have his complaints, everyone can kind of kick up dust and make this noise. But at the end of the day, when training camp comes and when the season comes, is he really going to sit out? Is he really going to miss the money? And I think if you're Nick Caserio, you're the Houston Texans front office, I think you just kind of have to hold firm and kind of reclaim or make sure that you don't set a bad precedent that players can do whatever they want to do to get out of the deal.
I made a point the other day. I just sent a tweet out, but I kind of mean this. I think there is such a thing as real leverage, like Laremy Tunsil had against the Texans when they didn't get him to sign a contract when they traded for him. And then there's Twitter leverage, where it feels like it because all these tweets say this and that. Does Deshaun have real leverage, or is this just kind of a bunch of people on Twitter and it's a bunch of talking heads on television stations like the Daniel Jeremiah's just blah, 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 blah. Is it real leverage, Bucky, does it that he has? Because it sounds like you don't think he actually has real leverage.
I don't think he has real leverage. I really don't. Like, I know people have told me, well, he could maybe go in and have like a phantom injury and those things and all of that. And I was like, man, I don't see it as a situation like that. I feel like the Texans were wrong, because if you told him that you're going to include him in the process and run things by him, like, you should be of your word. So if you say it, then do it. But that is the thing where I think they got to get in the room and they got to have this heart-to-heart, Nick Caserio, Deshaun Watson, talk it out, figure out where the direction of the franchise is going, pick a head coach, and the head coach doesn't necessarily have to be the guy that Deshaun Watson wants. But I think you want to keep the franchise quarterback abreast of what's going on, then you make a decision to move forward. Deshaun Watson laid out what he wanted in his post, like at the end of the season, his presser where he talked about culture and the kind of coach and what they need and accountability and everybody pushing forward and all those other things. Well, Nick Casario and him can be the instruments of change by getting on the same page and making sure that they see the game through the same vision and make sure they're saying the right stuff.
Earlier, Lance made the comparison to James Harden, and I asked this question because what does a potential trade request do to a locker room? Because we heard from Boogie Cousins and John Wall that before James Harden went scorched earth in his final press conference, or at least after game interaction with the media, they said there was clear disrespect by the way he approached the season, not following protocol. So they felt that disrespect beforehand, particularly Cousins talked about that. Would a trade request from a quarterback who's supposed to be the leader of the franchise, and if he makes it very public that he wants out in his own words, does that change the dynamic here?
I mean, it depends, because like we really haven't heard from Deshaun, so we really don't know. It's a lot of speculation about him wanting to be out and stuff like that. And so until he stands at the podium and says, hey, I want to be gone, I'm tired of it, like this doesn't work for me or whatever, I don't think the locker room is impacted at all. And also, the locker room is going to be in change anyway with a new general manager and a new head coach. How many of those guys are really going to be around? So I don't think anything will be impacted now until Deshaun comes out and either says that he's dissatisfied, he's unhappy, he doesn't want to be there, he's looking to move on and close this chapter of his life. And so until he does that, I think all of this stuff can be worked out.
Bucky, what do you know about Eric Bieniemy? I know Maurice Jones-Drew knows him pretty well. I don't know how well you know Bieniemy. What have you heard about him? What do you know about him personally? What can you tell us about Eric Bieniemy?
I mean, I know EB pretty well, man. Haven't played against him, haven't known him for a long time. Also, haven't known similar. We have mutual friends throughout the league. Well, man, he's a great dude. Great dude, natural leader. Doesn't mind challenging guys and confronting guys. If you want to go back and just look at him interact with players, just watch Welcome to the League with Adrian Peterson. During Adrian Peterson's rookie year when EB was on his tail trying to get him going. Like, that's what he does. And I think since he has become the offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs, I think you can see his imprint on this offense. Whether he's calling every play or not, I think you can see that this is a more balanced team because he's the running game advocate. He understands it. The way that he interacts with the quarterback, I think he has to get credit for that. I think sometimes on the outside, we pick and choose who gets credit for what, and for whatever reason, he hasn't gotten it. But I will say that if he is a head coach, I think he has an opportunity to be a really strong head coach because he is a very, very in-your-face leader. He is one that can get everyone on board, and I think he would create the right kind of culture that you need.
Most people would consider the process here faulty as far as the Texans are concerned, how they hire their GM and how they may potentially hire Eric Bieniemy, because right or wrong, it'll be looked at as simply they're trying to placate their quarterback who's upset with being left out of the process. Mm-hmm. Do you believe with the two guys, Casario and maybe a combination of Bieniemy, overcome a faulty process to land on the right guys?
I mean, if Bieniemy is the right guy, like I think so. I think the first thing that has to happen is everybody has to get in the room and it has to be communicated. Like, you got to get out whatever the issue is or the issues are down there, you got to clean that out. And I think that has to be mission number one for not only Cesario, but also for Bieniemy, whoever the next coach is. Like, you have to clean that out. You got to get all that stuff out. And then everybody has to operate in lockstep. I think number one, two things you have to be successful in the organization. You got to have trust and you got to have communication. And so it appears, obviously, that the trust is broken. So you got to rebuild the trust and you got to make sure you do it by having excellent communication with everyone involved in the building. When you clean that stuff up, like the rest of the stuff will kind of fall in line. But I think the number one thing is you got to repair the trust that has been broken within the building.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that is I'm a little concerned, the more we've been talking about this, I hadn't really put this all together, but I'm kind of curious how a relationship between the Patriot way and that version of silos that, you know, this is your little cone of responsibility and don't step outside of that, secretive. Nick Casario and his how he interacts and works with Eric Bieniemy,
I don't think that can necessarily be a given because he's always worked with one guy, Bill Belichick. And Bill Belichick, that's the most unusual setup in all the sports. Is that something that could be a potential concern, is how does Caserio, from the Patriot way, communicate and have the trust and the, you know, the things that you talked about with a head coach like Eric Bieniemy? Will they be on the same wavelength?
I think the main thing when it comes to it is during the interview process, or as they continue to build their relationship, is understanding what is the vision of the organization, what is the mission statement, what is the culture that they're attempting to build, because they have to be partners. They have to work in lockstep to make sure that it happens. The Patriot way is very unique. It is the way that they've gone about business, not only with Bill Belichick, but also with Bill Parcells. Well, you can't necessarily take that and just duplicate it in Houston. You saw with Bill O'Brien, or whatever, and other places. Like, it has to be its own unique thing. Like, whatever the Texans are about, the Texans have to be about that. And so I think it's really important that through communication, consistent dialogue, going back and forth and exchange of ideas, that Nick Caserio and whoever's the head coach, they are on the same page, and they make sure that they're working together, because we have seen what it looks like when it doesn't go right. I think the Texans want to get it right this time and make sure that everybody is working, I want to say, with a level of transparency.
Bucky Brooks is NFL.com and NFL Network joins us. Before you came on the show, Lance was talking a little flagrant. Actually, I'd say very flagrant. He said it was a sign of disrespect that when you and he partner for draft coverage, you're on the digital side. He called it disrespectful. Why aren't we on the NFL Network side? Do you agree? Is it a sign of disrespect?
Look, I understand that part of it, but what I'm gonna say,
I'm looking out for you.
I'm gonna say that it's the new medium, and what we're trying to do is appeal to the youngsters, because the youngsters don't watch the TV box. Like, all the youngsters are on YouTube. All the youngsters are doing it on their phones and iPads anyway, so it doesn't really matter if we're on TV. But I do feel them a little bit.
That's what I was saying. I mean, I just said, you know, let me know if y'all need something on one of these drafts. Just let me, how's the...
Something.
We keep getting pushed. Bucky used to do we used to do the whole draft. Like, we were on the set doing, like Craig Mack putting flavor in everybody's ear. And then all of a sudden, they got us like, okay, well, now y'all going to do a post show. And now it's like, we'll get on a Zoom for about 3 minutes. And I'm like, man, why are y'all trying to push us all the way off there? What are they doing, Buck?
All the way off. I know, all the way off. And with no combine and anything else, like, who knows, man? We're just going to be on the back pages for a minute. So I think I'm going to have to get my Twitter fingers up and make sure that I do something and tweet something that's interesting to kind of keep everyone engaged.
Well, so that's the question. Deshaun right now is using Future lyrics to, you know, he throws it out there and everyone has to try to decipher. What rap lyrics would you put out, or what music lyrics of any kind would you put out? Like, who is Bucky tweeting, if you want to create the intrigue where people say, man, what does Bucky mean by that?
Well, you know, like near 50, like, I can't reach down and do none of, I can't use any of the youngsters, the Baby and Polo G or none of those guys, because that's my son's generation. I would have to be more Jay-Z, Drake, right, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe I could throw some Lil Wayne out there, since Lil Wayne just got part. Maybe I could bring him back and kind of let everybody know what's going down.
Yeah, you could do anything from Cash Money. If you wanted to keep it, if you want to go Cash Money, you could keep it fairly simple, to be honest with you. There ain't any of the bounce music from Louisiana. Buck, it's good. At some point, we'll catch up about the Harden trade and see what you thought. And I am interested. There is a growing sense that James Harden used some type of prosthetic stomach to make himself look bad in warm-ups, because something's not right. Like, for real, something's not right. He did something.
Maybe they always caught him on the inhale instead of the exhale. I don't know, because he looks like a different dude in Brooklyn.
You can juice for 3 years and not change like that. I'm like, hold on, did James order a fat suit just to get out of Houston? Come on.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe he had one of those back back wraps or whatever. You know how, like, people go in the gym and they wrap somewhere. I don't know. He looked different.
He looked totally.
His game. He and Kevin Durant. Boy.
Same yeah. James. Triple-double. We're like, oh, well. It is what it is. Buck, thanks for joining us so early in the morning. I appreciate it.
No problem, man. Talk to you.
All right. Bucky Brooks with NFL Network. It's 8:30. We come back. Dell and I will kick that around a little bit. And I do want to mention, I hate to judge a book by its cover, but I'm going to 100% judge a book by its cover, which is kind of what this show likes to do when we come back right here on the bench. Check them out now. We doing big camp and we spending cheese. Check them out now.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Here on The Bench, we got just a couple more segments to go. You guys want to jump in on anything we talked about today, 713-780-3776. So, George Springer, 6-year, $150 million. He's officially gone. And we knew that was going to happen. We knew he wasn't going to be back. Good luck to George. Good luck to his family. Really, really good dude. I got a chance to spend a little bit of time, not with him necessarily directly, but the guy who handles my contracts, I've told that story, that embarrassing story where Mason challenged him to a water chugging contest in front of the whole thing. And it was, I just died on the inside for a full 2 minutes. I couldn't, like, I can't believe this is happening. As my son is sprinting around a room full of people with a water, and George, he said, "What is this kid doing?" And he wouldn't chug the water against Mason. So Mason did it. Because he had to lean into it, so he did it, then squished the bottle, and he goes, "Champion." And I'm like, "Oh, my God." And my wife laughed so hard, she goes, "That is the funniest, most embarrassing thing that has ever happened." I said, "Yep, it is." That's a real thing. So, so here's one of the things I wanted to get to. Philip Rivers retires. Do you think Philip Rivers is a Hall of Famer?
Yes.
Do you think he should be a Hall of Famer?
Yes, I mean, I don't care so much about first ballot, second ballot, but yeah, he makes the Hall of Fame. Dan Fouts made the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah, and it's hard to, like, he was an innovator. Well, he's not an innovator. He was part of
innovative offense.
An innovative offense with Eric Coryell. Philip Rivers should make
What's your hesitation about him making the Hall?
Well, I've always been of the mind that I would always like to have a very conservative Hall of Fame where you've got to be, you can't be Hall of Good. You have to be Hall of Great, Hall of Incredible, whatever the case may be. And do I believe that that is the case with Philip Rivers? I think very highly of Philip Rivers because of his ability to do something with certainly much less physical talent than other guys had. I just don't know if I feel like he's a Hall of Famer. For me, Hall of Famers need to have special accomplishments and have played at a certain level. Now, I guess you could argue that his level of play has been very high through a lot of interceptions. Should I hold that against him? I don't know.
It's over 2-1. I mean touchdowns, interceptions, 421-209. I just brought up Dan Fouts, Charger quarterback, all those things. And Dan Fouts, different era. We get all the caveats. Dan Fouts threw 254 touchdowns and 242 picks. Ends in the Hall. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anybody was thinking.
Now, that's a way different.
It's a different time.
Yeah.
Throwing the ball downfield a lot more. But he quarterback record 86-84. Everyone says wins aren't a quarterback stat. Wasn't like he was overly successful. And so I don't know. It's different eras, but how do you keep Phillip Rivers out of the Hall of Fame? I don't see it happening. I mean, in terms of him not making it.
I mean, he'll probably make it. I would just be very conservative if I had a Hall of Fame. I want it to be the most special players in every generation. And he is in a generation with some really good quarterbacks. Do I think he's a special player? I think he's an interesting player. I think he's kind of funny with some of the stuff he says when he's mic'd up. I think he's had some good seasons. Do I think that he is going to be a quarterback that we remember out of this generation? I just don't. I just don't, because you have too many, and maybe he shouldn't be punished for. This is the greatest time in quarterback history. Like we literally, if you have artistic, pieces where you have different empires and you have different artistic periods and the Renaissance and what. This is like a quarterback period that we witnessed, not even in the 90s. We really witnessed it beginning in the 2000s. I mean, you had John Elway, you had Joe Montana, you had Marino had some great stats, Warren Moon had some great stats. But I'm talking about, we are now in an era with, like, Matt Stafford no one even thinks about Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford's put some monster numbers up.
Think of the quarterback situation as it stands right now. You have probably three living legends playing in Brady, Rodgers, and Brees. And then that's not even mentioning Matt Ryan, who's a good player, good quarterback, certainly. Phillip Rivers. And we're even excluding the young one. And Russell Wilson's not so young anymore. You can throw Russell Wilson in the mix as a surefire Hall of Famer the way things are going.
Yeah.
You have, and that's just removing Deshaun. Oh, by the way, Ben Roethlisberger.
No, yeah.
Another
for sure. Yeah, Ben is a Hall of Famer to me.
Yeah. There
is
are.
Is a Hall of Famer?
Who?
Brees is obviously
a
Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I put him in the living legend category. There are multiple Hall of Famers still active right now. Guys who will likely play next year.
Is Peyton Manning really the 98 draft? Is Peyton Manning really the beginning of the.
I think so.
I mean, because you had Steve Young, but I'm talking about the quarterback boom, the quarterback era as we know it. It was Peyton Manning in 98. It was Tom Brady. We didn't know it at the time, but in, 2000? And then it was Drew Brees in 2001. There's three guys right there. And then Ben Roethlisberger was, 2004. I mean, what I'm saying. I don't know that, but so was Rivers, or he might have been three.
Rivers in the same draft.
Eli, in no world is Eli Manning a real Hall of Famer. They will put him there maybe. Because he has two Super Bowls, in no world should Eli Manning be a Hall of Famer. Like, when I think of greatness, I think of Eli Manning. Says who when? When has Eli Manning been a top eight quarterback in the league?
He's been part of a remarkable play. And the throw to Manningham's was a spectacular throw. But that's his legacy. And he beat the Patriots twice. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but he'll make it. And that draft featured three Hall of Famers, if we're giving Eli that, then you have Ben Roethlisberger and you have Phillip Rivers. They all were in the same draft. And they're all going to probably make the Hall of Fame.
Underrated Mess says, almost beating the 16-0 Patriots on one leg speaks for itself. One of the greatest competitors at the position. Pure love for the game, deserves the Hall of Fame. All the intangibles are there for me. I just feel like you have to be considered one of the top five in your position to be a Hall of Famer. For your entire career.
For his entire career, need to be top five. Phillip Rivers was never a top five quarterback for you at any point?
Well, he did. Like I said, he did play in a tough time with Brees, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. I got to try to remember quarterbacks that we might be forgetting about like an Elvis Gerback type.
an Elvis Gerback of all play.
I mean, Russell Wilson came along much later, but Ben Roethlisberger. Might have been in the mix. Is there anyone else we're forgetting that was really good?
Manning, Rodgers, Brady.
Oh, Rodgers? Yeah. I mean, probably not. Aaron Rodgers came in 2005. So Rodgers, Brady, Manning. Well, of course, Rodgers had to wait for a couple of years for Brett Favre to get out. We never talk about Brett Favre.
In that era?
Who?
Hasselbeck. But he wasn't really good.
Yeah, Hasselbeck was in that era.
He made a Super Bowl. one. Matt did.
No, but I mean, realistically, like Matt Ryan wouldn't be.
I think Rivers could lay claim to being a top five quarterback.
Romo?
For 4 to 5 years. It was Romo?
I don't see Romo.
Did he play long enough?
Yeah, I think so.
And you still don't think Romo makes off?
Well, he could. I'm just saying my characteristic that you need to be top five at your position, you're always going to have from the generation of 2000 to 2000 to 2000, let's say 10, and then from 10 to 20. If you take those two decades, it's going to be Manning, Breeze, Brady. First of all, you have three guys who played forever, which has become more rare. Then you look at then you start talking about Aaron Rodgers, who's in a completely different category. Ben Roethlisberger. Is Phil Rivers ahead of any of those five? Even if I knocked out Peyton Manning, Russell Wilson's going to probably be in there ahead of Philip Rivers. He'll make it. He'll make the Hall of Fame.
I don't know how. An eight-time pro, now Pro Bowl, we know alternates, all that stuff, but as an eight-time Pro Bowler in an era where it was pretty good for quarterbacks, I think he's in. He was really good, just not great. And I don't think the Hall of Fame is a great award anymore. Were you really good? Okay, you're in.
You think Eli's getting in because he won two Super Bowls?
Of course he is.
God, that's disgusting. Giants fans get so pissed when I say that, but I'm right. You guys are wrong. 10:43, right here on the bench.
SportsMapBets.com is live. Stay up to date with betting guides for this week's NFL and college football action, or check out SportsMapBets research tools and keep the lead in your fantasy league. SportsMapBets.com has all the info you need to make the best play. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
This is the video. Prime Jalen.
On YouTube, it's not.
Yeah. Are you watching it right now?
Well, I'm not. I pick not the official video one, so it's just a still of her on a bed wearing kind of skimpy shorts.
The official video. This is where I wish John was here so he could just keep talking and I could just watch it.
Why do you. You've seen that video how many times? You need to see it again during the show?
Like twice?
Twice.
Well, now that it's hit my radar, she's Jennifer Lopez just sang during the
inauguration.
Or
as,
spoke or sang? Sang?
She sang. She sang. Yeah, she followed up Lady Gaga singing the national anthem, and Joe Biden has just put his hand on the Bible and been inaugurated. He is
his
now
family's 127-year-old Bible.
Yes, his family Bible. So he is now officially the president of the United States.
Yeah, but how about how J-Lo looked?
Well, it was
going to talk about the real stuff.
What? She was wearing a very nice
I know.
Outfit. But
she
I
even threw a little bit of Latin flair in there.
I didn't see anything. What do you mean?
What did she do?
She I don't. They didn't even translate it. Like she just said some Spanish. Los toros, something. I don't know what she said, but
los toros as though the tech. Like she's talking about the Texans.
Not toros.
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 Not toros.
The usted.
Does she live in Miami or is she just New York?
I don't know where she lives. I'm sure she has
either
homes.
One. She might have a
homes everywhere.
Y todos mi, how do you say teams? I can't remember.
I'm not.
I want to see if she shouted out. If we all of a sudden we heard, Deshaun Watson, and then she kept going. I'd be like, oh, my, what's happening? What is she? This is tampering. Tampering.
What if Deshaun? Prank call. What if Deshaun told her to break the trade request at the inauguration?
No, that's going to be, that's something that Juju Smith-Schuster would have done, or Odell Beckham, not our Deshaun.
Well, if he wouldn't be your Deshaun at that
point. Do you know that the rumor about, and when I say rumor, it's just people's suppositions, that James Harden was wearing some type of fat suit? It's really picking up steam. Like, people were thinking it and then saying it as a joke, and now everyone's like, right? Yeah, because I said it. Well, somebody else said it on Twitter, and then I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, this is right. One of those silicone. I don't think it's like the one they have for pregnant women, but I think something silicone that would stick to your body. I'm sorry. James did something.
During warm-ups, it looked like he did everything possible to look bigger than he actually is.
I mean, he could have just like went overboard on salt, kind of retained water. And then
he could have stuck stomach out and all that.
I don't know, man. I'm looking at
that. That just doesn't.
I'm looking at the promo pictures for his Brooklyn Nets photo shoot. There's no hint of a belly.
None.
Nothing.
Light blue versus like slimming black.
I understand, but they wore light blue in the promo because he on his header. I don't know if he changed it, but on his header now that he's a Net, they showed different pictures of him in Nets uniforms, and one of them is that light blue uniform. That's a throwback. And he don't look like he did in that warm-up.
Now, James is not ripped.
No, but
James is not ripped. Like, you can see in his boxing, some of his boxing workouts. Of course, that was from 2009.
Some time ago, yeah.
That's from 2009.
Look at him. Look at this. But we've all seen it, but I'm going to show it to you. Look at this guy. He looks like... And then look.
What did you say?
I said, look at this.
No, what did you say with the other guy?
What do you mean?
He looks like what?
I was going to say he looks like my fat old uncle. That's what he looks like in that light blue Rockets warm up. He looks like a fat old uncle. And then look at him here. Look at this.
No, I know. I've seen that a million times. And there's so many pictures of James. Of course, look, here's James in his red one. That's when people first started noticing,
James thought,
hey, James wait like, a minute.
Look, I'm going to float this out here and see if it works.
Is there any way he's wearing extra shirts?
It's
maybe
possible. I'm not sure why he needed to, but it's possible. But he looks like, I don't know how to explain it other than underneath.
The sauna suits.
I know, it's possible.
So he could have been wearing maybe one of those, well, or all, like a sweatsuit kind of thing.
But why wouldn't he wear it in Brooklyn? Look, I'm not saying
I don't know.
I'm not saying he actually went out and bought a fat suit, but I do think he went out of his way to look bigger than he actually is.
There is just no way that James Harden, I'm going to watch his videos again, and he looks like he has a giant ass. I mean, no.
He
100% did something to trick people.
He looks like he'd be waddling on the court, not playing basketball on it. I don't know how to explain it other than he just had some extra padding and he decided to see he floated the red one when he was in his red shirt.
Wetted our beaks with it. And then but look at this, Dell. Look at the ass too. That's not James's real.
You're always looking at dudes' asses.
No, that's not what I'm doing.
Because you're a scout. You're always looking at dudes' asses. I'm not doing that.
That's fake. This is all fake. James Harden. Look at his legs look bigger too. James Harden.
You know who it popped to my. I was saying fat old uncle, but he looks like Gerard Warren.
Big money?
In the light blue, he looks like what Gerard Warren looked like. Well, at his thinnest, not before he completely lost it.
Where did I find that picture?
Which one?
In his light blue. You mean just...
No, in the warm-up compared to his Brooklyn shirt and his Brooklyn
Gerard stuff. Warren, the former defensive lineman?
That's what he looks like from that pick. Because it's only top up because you can't see him bottom down. He looked waist down. He looks like Gerard Warren.
That's not a compliment.
No, and he doesn't look like that in Brooklyn. Not at all. Just putting up 30 points, 30-point triple-double, doing his thing.
Gerard Warren is an insurance follow-up specialist now in LinkedIn? No way Gerard was hanging on to his. There's no way Big Money, nicknamed Big Money, was hanging on to his money. I'm going to see if this is the same Gerard Warren.
I'm telling
you. Doesn't have any of his business, former Jerome business interests had, in NFL.
I mean, Jerome. James had defensive tackle energy in his final days in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Like a And not like one of those, not a shoot the gap guy, a two gap nose tackle. No. LaVon, he looked, in fact, I'll give him a little credit. Maybe not Gerard Warren. He looked like LaVon Kirkland.
What about Christian Barmore?
Christian Barmore looked agile compared to James.
James looked agile. He had not a couple Euro
steps. Not in the warm up.
Yeah, that's the thing is he didn't look as fat. I mean, James did it. Is there any chance at some point he'll go on? Nah, he won't go on all the smoke because those guys don't like him. And he never goes on.
He doesn't do stuff like that.
But Kevin Durant's now. He might do something with Kevin Durant where they're sitting in a barbershop or whatever.
That's his
guy. The boardroom.
That's his guy.
So maybe he will. But then they would say, maybe they'd say it's tampering. But at some point he'll tell the story about, he'll be asked, right? He's got to be asked.
He's got to be asked about someone. New media. Okay. Traditional media won't ask him about it.
It'll be Charlemagne the God.
New media will ask. He's in New York. He might do an interview.
Charlemagne the God, Breakfast Club. Hold on. James. How did you go from looking this fat? Because Charlemagne will ask those questions.
Say fat. You look fat.
You look fat. James, you look fat. But you're not fat anymore. How did you? You did something, didn't you? You wore a fat suit.
If I told you this was James Harden in a Steelers uniform, would you believe me?
Oh,
not LaVon Kirkland.
Not LaVon Kirkland. He's not that big.
He looked like it in that light blue Rockets warm up. Now he looks all svelte.
And I'm not mad at it. I'm glad the Rockets got a bunch of first rounders and they got pick swaps and all that stuff. So I'm not upset about it. If James pulled that, I just think it's kind of funny. I'd like to know how he did it. I'd like to know because I don't want to see Deshaun Watson come in at what appears to be 255. So we at least know and say, okay, Deshaun, what's take it? But then I got to say, take your shirt and pants off. No one's comfortable with that.
You shouldn't say that. I hope he comes in a Jamarcus Russell LSU jersey or a Raiders jersey. No, I'm just paying tribute.
You want to talk about that energy?
No, I'm just paying tribute to Jamarcus. I love them at LSU.
What if he comes in with an Antonio Brown jersey
to send a message?
Yeah. Hey guys,
you want me here? Now you have me.
Ugh. That's going to do it for us. Listen in, Press Box coming up next.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of Bonnie plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all Bonnie 4.5-inch vegetable and herbs are on sale through May 17th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on menards.com. For all the great deals happening now. Save big.